In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Mercy, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius, Father Bruno Lanteri, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. So following up on the theme or topic of mercy, I'd like to invite all of you for your next meditation. It would be John chapter 8, which would be the woman caught in adultery. But instead of giving a biblical commentary on that, I'd like to talk about the sacrament of confession. So that's my topic, and relate John chapter 8 and John chapter 4 to the sacrament of confession. There's a real biblical connection between those biblical passages and confession, because it's the sacrament of God's infinite mercy. Some preliminary comments, and then I'd like to simply go through the brass tacks of making a good confession. Is the first I'd like to say is, be thankful that in this retreat you have priests giving this retreat. Yeah. I'm going to say something that's ironic, and you're going to laugh at this, and maybe weep with me, is that ever since I was ordained a priest, I've been tried to preach as much as I can, but also confess as much as I can. So my apostolic work is a lot of preaching and teaching. Now a little bit on the radio, a little bit on the TV. I do a lot of the work in Spanish. But then almost all of my free time, I try to be available for confession, and you know that, those who know me know. So I usually spend most of the morning in the confessional, and then in the evening I'll usually give an hour or two if I'm not traveling. I arrived last night because I was in a mission. I'm given a 10-week program, and there was a line of people that wanted to go to confession after my talk, so I got back later at night, just being available for this wonderful sacrament. But since the pandemic, I can't find a confessor for myself. I'll tell you why, because I've always had, for 25 years, Dominguez Hills with the older priests, which says 15 older priests, and I usually have one there, but if he's not there, then I'll go to another one. But because of the pandemic, they, you know, the gates are closed, and so it's pray for me, no? So I'm kind of jealous of you that you can come to me, but I can't go to the priest. Okay. Patrick, you can be 1,000 times more holy than me, and even Father Victor, but if you say this 1,000 times, I absolve of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. No? Whereas when we say, even though we could be the worst sinners in the world, with those words of absolution, it happens. No? So it's kind of ironic, no? That because of the pandemic, it's more difficult to find priests maybe for ourselves as confessors. And I really believe so much in this sacrament, and I try to be as available as possible. Among the many sayings of our founder, the most famous is Nunc Cepi, which means now I begin. But probably most of you don't know that our founder said that the oblate priest should be found dead in the pulpit or the confessional. That's a classic phrase of Father Lanteri, which means preaching, as we're doing now, and then reconciling souls to God. Saying that, you can easily take something for granted because of the availability of it. So I repeat, you can easily take something for granted because it's so available. You know, I'm there at 4 o'clock, Father Victor's there at 9:30, you know, for 7 days. I mean, you got it made in the shade, really. You got it made in the shade. So in a certain, we're kind of spoiling you, making it so available. But with that availability, you can easily just take it for granted. And I'll give you as a model Father Damien and Molokai. You ever see the movie? Father Damien and Molokai, you ever see the movie? Great movie. What was Father Damien's greatest suffering? He couldn't go to confession. Because he was on the island of Molokai. And there was no priest there. Now, probably a lot of you think that I could go to my room and I could look in the mirror and say, Father Brom, I absolve of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that would be an invalid absolution. We have to go to another priest. So take advantage of the opportunity. In the sacristy, there's a plaque that says, Priest, man of God, say the Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass. We should go to confession as if it were our first, last, and only. Amen?
Amen.
So I like to talk about this. I'm almost a little bit reluctant to talk about this topic because you've probably heard so many talks on this topic, but I think it's always good to refresh our understanding of this all-important sacrament. All-important sacrament. Because what are the two most important things you can do in your life before you get to heaven? I'll tell you. Receive communion and receive absolution. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the two most important things you can do. Receive communion and receive absolution. Now your holy hours are great, I hope, and your rosaries, that's great. But when you receive the sacrament, it's a direct encounter with Christ. It's a direct encounter with Christ. You receive the Eucharist, it's not simply a symbol. You receive absolution, that's not simply a wave of the hand and a gesture. It's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, which is descending from the cross and washing your soul clean. And that's invisible, but that's really happening. Watch the movie Il Gran Milagro. Great movie. Yeah, watch. Some of you have seen the movie Il Gran Milagro, right? The greatest miracle. Watch that and you see. It's the blood of Christ. It's cleansing us from our sins. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you that we can upgrade our confessions. And be honest. Be honest with me. We can all improve, right? And we obviously we can improve as confessors too. So pray that we'll all upgrade, we'll improve. And what it is, it's an encounter with the merciful Christ to improve that. That's why John chapter 8 and John chapter 4 is the best. These two women that they were sinners and they had this total trust in Christ's mercy and they were forgiven and restored to friendship with Christ, as was Mary Magdalene too, and Peter and the good thief and Zacchaeus and all these biblical figures that recognize their sinfulness. Okay, the first one point I'd like to make is, did you ever notice in your life that you really knew that you were overdue to go to confession and you put it off? Never happened?
Yes.
You said you knew, okay, now it's already been this time and okay, well, I should probably accumulate a few more biggies. None of these peccadillos, but let's get some biggies and then, you know, get in there, okay? And often that's the devil. The devil tries to prevent you. I love reading the lives of saints, and one of the saints I love is Philip Neri. You probably don't know, Philip Neri was kind of like a John Bosco, who spent many hours in the confessional in Father Victor had been in Rome, La Chiesa Nuova, which is English for the new church. He spent years there hearing confessions, and of course would have a long line. On one occasion, the confessional line was blocked because a man wouldn't come in. And Philip Neri said, come on, I can take you now. So he gets in the confessional and the man wouldn't move. And then he got out and said, come on, you know, you can come to confessional. There's no one in here. The man said no. So he invited him again. Come on. And he said no. So Philip Neri came out of the confessional and he sprayed that man with holy water and disappeared. It was the devil. And it's the devil of shame and fear. When we sin, God takes our shame away. When we want to go to confession, He fills us with so much shame and fear, we never make it to confessional. One of my favorite stories in the life of Philip Neri with respect to confession. How many people are filled with so much shame and fear that they never make it there into the confessional? You know people. Maybe it was you before. Okay, so let's briefly go through the classical steps and I'll give you a few other ideas. The secret of a good confession, my friends, is the prior preparation before the confessional. I think when I go to confession, my confession probably maybe 2 or 3 minutes. 4 minutes is a long confession when I go to another priest. Not long. And when I confess, normally my confessions are 3 or 4 minutes. I don't spend a lot of time. It's the Curia Vars, it would be 3 minutes. 3 minutes. So confession is not the same thing as pastoral counseling. They're two different things. So 95% of making a good confession is what you do before you enter the confessional. So the better the preparation, the better the preparation, the better the results. Those who have made general confessions, you've spent four to five hours preparing for it. Right? Those who made your general confession, maybe more. So, beg for the grace. Beg for the grace. Then go through, the first step is examination of conscience, where you go through the Ten Commandments. Go through the Ten Commandments. And we've given you the little booklet. I wrote one, but it hasn't been published yet, but hopefully it will be published someday. I think that's the best, but it hasn't, doesn't have the imprimatur yet, so. But the little one by Minnesota Press, by Father Altier, is pretty good. Pretty good. Even though this is a highly erudite group of individuals, I'd have to say, maybe it skipped your mind the whole idea of a mortal sin. When I'm given the exercise the first time, when I give it in John the Baptist, some of these people, there are 400, they never heard of a mortal sin. So you should know what that is. If you don't know what a mortal sin is, you're not going to make a good confession. Mortal sin has three qualities: grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. This is basic catechism. You hear me?
Yes.
You who are brought up and raised with Baltimore, the catechism, you remember that. I caught the tail end of Baltimore catechism, so ever since I was 7 years old, I always remembered that with those good Dominican nuns in New York, huh? So, grave matter, it's something serious. Full knowledge, you know it. Full consent to the will is you do it anyway. Now, there's a problem. Do you know what invincible ignorance is? Invincible ignorance? I wonder if our theologians, Father Victor and Brother J.R., know that terminology. Very important. Vincible, invincible ignorance. Vincible ignorance means there are a lot of people that they are culpable of sins that they don't know because they purposely have not studied their Catholic faith. We as adults, it's incumbent upon us to study our faith. Well, I didn't know. Well, okay, you made no effort to get to know what the truth is. So see ourselves as perpetual students. Constantly we're learning our faith. Okay, like a tubal ligation of vasectomy. Where is that in the commandments? That's the fifth commandment. That probably shocks you. Why would that be the fifth commandment? Because you're damaging your body. Your body is a temple of the Spirit. None of you knew that probably, unless you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church and you know it well. That's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Scandalizing your teenage son or daughter, taking him to a bad movie, is against the fifth commandment too, because you're morally damaging the soul of your son or daughter. So there's so much that we don't know. So much we don't know. So accept the challenge that I offer to you in this retreat. Don't call yourself Miss Know-It-All. We still have to learn a lot. Or like Plato's The Myth of the Cave, we're moving out of the cave into the light. So those are the three qualities. It's a grave matter, full knowledge, full consent to the will. But if you purposely have been obviating or not trying to learn your faith, that's something worthy of the confessional too. That's negligence, a sin of omission, right? I've told you this before, but I have a brother who's in his late 60s now. A couple years ago, he had to study to pass an exam. He's a back surgeon. A couple years ago, he had to pass an exam. You think the poor guy, a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude, Columbia Medical School, that's the best in, maybe the best in the world almost. Why would the guy have to study, pass the exam if he's in his mid-60s? Because medical technology. Shouldn't we do the same thing in our spiritual life? Hello? Or should we be rinky-dink Catholics, huh? Welcome to the rinky-dink Catholic Club, no? We should be professional Catholics. Professional. Meaning we really are literate, we know our faith well, and this we're talking now about moral theology. We got to know that we should know the Ten Commandments. Yes, we should. The closer you get to the light, the more you're able to see those coffee spots on your white sweater. So that's the first step. Is examine your conscience on the Ten Commandments. So they're not suggestions, they're commandments, okay? Okay, the second point would be that of sorrow for sin. And the sorrow can be also known as contrition. It can be imperfect sorrow or perfect sorrow. Imperfect is also known as attrition. You're sorry because if you don't repent, you could lose your soul. That's good enough to receive absolution. But I would pray to go beyond that. Go beyond that. Is that you're sorry because you love God. You love God and you don't want to do anything at all to hurt the God that loves you so much. We've been listening to our favorite Fulton Sheen for 3.5 days. There are many, many definitions for sin. Many. I could give you a list of 10 definitions off the top of my head. I like Fulton Sheen's definition best. Fulton Sheen says, sin is hurting the one you love. Amen? Instead of a legalistic one, breaking a commandment, which it is also, sin is hurting the one you love. And I would add, sin, instead of simply breaking a commandment, we're breaking the heart of God. If you see sin in that realm, your confession is going to be much better because everything is becoming more personal. Christ is alive. He's not simply some mystical figure that lived 2,000 years. He's alive. He's alive today. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, now the third step. Many of you have the habit of going to confession frequently. This is probably where we are weakest, is on the third step, which is firm purpose of amendment. Firm purpose of amendment encapsulates your intellect and your will. Your intellect and your will in this sense. Often we have a confession. In Spanish, they call it el disco rayado. Habla español, el disco rayado. Which means the broken record confession, where you're repeating yourself over and over again. It's the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. Father, same thing. Well, that could be because you've got to beg for great, more firm. You have to have more sorrow, but also it could be because of ignorance as to why you keep going back to the same sin. Let me explain that. Okay, you're going to confession, you're examining your conscience. Okay, you rewind, okay, you went 2 weeks ago. You rewind the film of your life and you see your sin. But what you have to do is you have to see what preceded your sin. What led you into it. Now, a lot of us, we tell our sin, but what led us into sin, that's where we don't go. I know it's painful. It's painful. But going back, what led me into that sin? The A, B, C, and I fell into sin. In other words, self-knowledge. If you can come to awareness of that in this retreat, that's a huge fruit. Which your confessions are going to go up. Because we sin because of two reasons. What? We sin because of weakness of the will, but darkness in the intellect. Those two things. We're weak. But also because of that ignorance in our intellect, we fall. Would you have enough courage today in your holy hour, Lord, help me to see my sin, but why I'm committing that sin? Would you have enough courage to do that today? Would you? Hello? Yeah, that should be one of your prayers. Ask the Holy Spirit, okay, I sin, I fall into this, but Lord, Holy Spirit, why do I? And my friends, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Maybe painful. You know, operations are painful, but once the operation is done, there's a healing, right? We as priests, we're soul surgeons, right? Otherwise, you never advance. You stay where you are. We're called, my friends. Maybe we came into this retreat like turtles, but let's end like eagles, huh? Do you prefer to be a turtle or an eagle? You ever look at a turtle? They walk very slowly and they're very shy. You come close, they hide in their shell, right? We're called to be an eagle, to fly in high in the spiritual life, to find our nest on the top of the mountain. I think we got a little bit of the eagle and the turtle within us. Let's get rid of the turtle, okay? Let's throw him back into the pond, okay? So that third step demands a serious rewinding of your life and seeing, I fell, but what led me to fall? In general, often it's desolation. Okay, we talked about that, right? Often it's a state of desolation, and the devil looks for our kryptonite in Zoom. He shoots for the kill. But there's something beyond the desolation. There's something else. What would happen as a result of this retreat? Your communions are much better. Your confessions are much better. Wow. Probably when you die, I'd be ready to canonize you. Pope Edward I, huh? It's not going to happen, no, but... All right, the fourth step. Maybe you've heard this story, but it's worth hearing again. Saint Faustina Kowalska. Almost always, you read the diary, you see her often going to the confessional with Father Sopochko or Father Andrasz. She had, I don't know how my Polish is very good, no? Sopochko and Father Andrasz would be the two of her confessors. Almost always, she would leave on cloud nine. But once, she came out and the priest didn't seem to understand her, and she left in desolation. Why? Jesus appeared to her and said, you know the reason why? Because you didn't pray for the priest before you went to confession. Probably none of you do that, but it's a good idea to say maybe a Hail Mary for Father Victor, or for me, or for your confessor. Say a prayer to our guardian angel. You know we've got a guardian angel, so do you. My friend, my guardian angel is very busy. Father Larry once said, when I get to heaven, my guardian angel is going to say, wow, that was a toughie. Father Larry, wow. Let's keep our guardian angel busy, right? I come from an older generation, but I believe in confessing using the classical steps that maybe none of you have been educated with it, but you go in, you make the sign of the cross, and you say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 2 weeks ago. These are my sins. You ever hear that? That makes it much easier for the confessor, much easier. But the younger generation, they were not trained in that, makes it much easier. It's like we are spiritual surgeons or doctors. If you tell me how long, it's like someone goes to my brother or to a nurse, so this is the last time I've had a check, it was 2 weeks ago. This one says 50 years ago, there's a big difference. Right? Obviously. So that helps out a lot. And it doesn't really take too much. Once you learn that by heart, you'll do it always. So you make the sign of the cross. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. My last confession was 2 weeks ago. These are my sins. Wow. Already for me, you're going to get a smaller penance by just doing that. Okay. St. Faustine, the diary, says your confession should have three qualities, three virtues. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Those are three qualities that you read in the diary of St. Faustine. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Transparency means try to be clear. Clarity is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Confusion is a sign of the devil. Okay, I repeat. Transparency is a sign of the good spirit. Confusion is a sign of the bad spirit. So pray that you always be very clear. Humility. Don't play the blame game. Father, my husband. Father, my husband. He really makes me angry. You know, if you knew him, Father. You know, that's called the blame game. Called the blame game. Are you confessing your husband's sins or your own sins? No? It's a camouflage form of pride. Your husband isn't perfect, but it's not his confession, it's your confession. So the more humble we are, the more graces God's going to give us. And then obedience. The priest gives you advice, don't have an arm wrestle with him. For your penance, I'd like you to say six Hail Marys. How about three, Father? Okay, thank you for intervening. Your penance will be to pray two rosaries, no? No, don't fight with the priest. And then, also when you're confessing, if you have mortal sins, the number and species, canon law, this is the canon law and the catechism of the Catholic Church, the number and the types. For example, fornication and adultery, mortal sins, yes, right? Are they the same? They're mortal sins. But adultery is more serious than fornication, right? Because it's a sacrilege. You're married in the church or you're cheating on your spouse. It's more serious. It's more serious. It compounds the culpability. So the number and the types. Mortal sin. Venial sin, you don't have to. But mortal sin, the number and the types of sins, especially against the sixth and ninth commandments. Okay, then you say the absolution. You say, well, like Patrick, or they say the absolution. You say your act of contrition. Well, then the priest gives you absolution. Aren't those words consoling? And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What consoling words. All those sins are forgiven. You've heard of the Curia Vars, right? Curia Vars says, every time we go to confession, we're taking the nails out of the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Listen to this one. I heard this a week ago on the Curie Bars and the YouTube. As a mother wants to snatch her little child from a fire, God wants to forgive us in confession. Wow. Imagine a little child in the fire and the mother running to snatch that child from being burnt. So God wants to forgive us in the sacrament of confession. And the last step would be to carry out the penance. When I was studying in Rome, my formator was Father Manini, who's a priest now about in his 90s in Rome. He was our formator when I was a theologian. Now he said to us, whenever you go to confession, whatever the priest gives you, always do twice. Always double it. I remember that. Not that you have to, but Father Manini said, that's a sign of goodwill. That's a sign of goodwill. And the fruits of a good confession, my friends, the specific sacramental grace of confession is healing. Every sacrament has a sacramental grace too. It's healing. And confession can serve in two ways of healing. Preventive healing and curative healing. It prevents sin as well as it cures our soul from sin. Another effect of confession is shalom, which means interior peace. We all long for peace of mind, heart, soul, and being. So let's be thankful to God that we're Catholics, that we can receive this wonderful sacrament and experience the infinite mercy, love, and peace of the heart of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. St. Ignatius, pray for us. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.